Welcome to day 33 of Happier People Podcast here with me, Jerry Banfield. Would you like to hear me talk about how sleep fixes everything? I'm very grateful to be feeling better this morning after yesterday having a day that kind of felt like being born in the sense of growing pains squeezing me throughout the day. And now today, I feel better. And a big part of that is a full night of sleep. I get a lot of sleep, and I don't think I mentioned this in a lot of things, but I've noticed the most unhappy parts of my life were the parts where I did not get enough sleep. For example, in high school, I would try and play video games as late as possible, and then I would often only get 6 or 7 hours of sleep most nights in high school, according to the data, right when you need a lot of sleep as you're growing through all those things in your life. Then in college, I did a bunch of torturous things to my sleep. I'd stay up all night partying or playing video games and then try and go to an early class the next morning, often missing the class and opting to go to breakfast and go back to bed instead. Or I would stay up and get 2 hours of sleep before pulling an all-nighter and go straight to physical training in the morning with ROTC, which was brutal. That was real stupid. And I continued these same kinds of behaviors into having jobs. I would come in to work with too few hours of sleep very often. And correspondingly, I'd have bad moods. I've noticed today that getting good sleep eliminates a lot of my bad moods from happening. And even sometimes when I do get good sleep, I still have a bad mood. But there's a lot of bad moods that can be caused completely by being tired. And you look around at your life and you wonder what's going on. And if you just get some more sleep, that often will fix a lot of things. Now, this sounds super easy. It sounds so damn simple. You're like, Jerry, I can't even believe you're talking about this. I get consistently 8 hours of sleep every single night. Now, sure, if Madeline might occasionally be up, there might occasionally be a storm or something that wakes me up. On a regular basis, most of the time, I get at least 8 hours of sleep every night. And how do I do that? I make time for it. I make room for it. The important things in my life, like sleep for self-care, I make time for it. And not only that, I try and have routines where I wind down at the end of the day. I've noticed if I even touch or do anything work-related, within an hour of bedtime, my mind still an hour later is moving too fast to effectively go to sleep. So what I do now, the last hour of the day is wind down time. I don't mess around with work or anything. I listen to books. I listen to podcasts. I take my dogs on a walk. I go for a shower. And I sit with my wife and talk about our day, usually for 30 to 45 minutes. That's the only time of the day I'll usually watch some TV too, because TV helps the mind just kind of blank, and that's perfect for going to sleep. I've started doing things like this after doing it different ways enough times to see the consequence of it. I used to play video games with my friends late at night, and then I'd go straight to bed from there. And I noticed consistently, no matter how tired I was, I'd have a hard time falling asleep. The problem becomes when you have a hard time falling asleep that you then will try and stay up too late because you'll be afraid of getting in bed and tossing and turning for an hour and being stuck alone with your thoughts. So what I've done most of my adult life is push the limit all the time on when I would go to bed, because when I went to bed, I wanted to fall asleep right away. During periods when I didn't have to work, I, for example, living at my parents' house, I would often stay up till anywhere 4 to 7 in the morning because I knew as soon as I got in bed, I would fall asleep. And even there then, lots of times I didn't get a full night of sleep because my parents got up at 9 or 10 in the morning. So if I went to bed at 7 in the morning, it was very likely I'd get woke up. My parents were pretty quiet and very considerate, but I still usually get woke up by about noon. So the absurd thing is that even living with my parents, I often didn't get enough nights of sleep, and then I'd have a bad mood on account of it. It's amazing how these little simple things in life, you look at them, you say you're so simple, but try and change something about your sleep. Try and actually get some more sleep, and you might be amazed how much resistance you get. A lot of these things we tie up into our idea of who we are. Well, I'm just a person that gets 5 hours of sleep a night. Let's look at this practically. If your body rests and regenerates in sleep, wouldn't you guess that more of it would be better to a point? Obviously, you don't want to go sleep 15, 16 hours a day unless you're incredibly sick or ill or something like that. It seems to me about 8 hours of sleep is ideal, though, for my body, and my body is happy to take an extra hour or two also. Now, if you start saying things like, well, I can't sleep past 5:30, if you want to get more sleep than you, and you can't sleep past 5:30, if that's the truth and not just an idea in your head, but if it's the truth, then you need to go to bed earlier. And if you want 8 hours of sleep, if you want good moods out of it, then you need to go to bed at least 8 hours before 5:30 p.m., and therefore, you need to be preparing to go to bed an hour before that and winding down. I avoid using my phone an hour before bedtime, checking things like Facebook, because all those kinds of things spin up the mind. And you don't want to spin the mind up before bed, because that will make it more difficult to go to sleep. I'm amazed how consistently I can fall asleep, even if some days I've had days where I've only been up 12 or 13 or 14 hours and I can still go right back to bed and go to sleep. Even though I have tons of energy, I'm young and healthy, there's all kinds of things I'm doing that I'm interested in. I have good routines that take care of me in a way that I can go to sleep. And especially they're helpful last night, like when I had a day that was kind of difficult. My sleep routines were just wonderful. I went and walked the dogs. I took a shower. I sat down, talked with my wife, and I cried. And then we went in, and I fell almost immediately to sleep. I got 9.5 or so hours of sleep last night, and I feel reborn today. I feel like a completely new person. All the things yesterday are not relevant anymore. It is an entirely new day. What I've found, if you don't get enough sleep, it's very easy to also get stuck in the mind world. If you go to bed and you don't have good sleep routines, for example, you're on Facebook in bed, right before bed, you're thinking about all these things, you toss and turn an hour before you fall asleep, you're anxious and afraid right before you sleep, then when you wake up, often the only peace you'll have is a few seconds or a few minutes sometimes before you kind of remember who you are. And then as soon as you remember what you were chewing on mentally the night before, you'll get back up and it'll seem like it's not a new day. You'll be stuck with all the same thoughts. And then often that'll wake you up even. If you go to bed like that, you'll wake up in the middle of the night, be running through all these thoughts in your head, and then you'll get out of bed. You see, all of these things are little tiny things you do, but they cumulatively add up to a lot of different problems and dysfunction. I've noticed all these by just self-examining each area of my sleep. I've learned the hard ways. I would play video games with my friends to 2 or 3 in the morning. I would be absolutely exhausted when I got in bed, but my mind was running so fast it took an hour to fall asleep, even with being absolutely exhausted getting into bed. And then I would notice that it would disturb my wife when I'd go to bed. And then when my daughter woke up, then I'd get in a really cranky mood because I'd only been in bed a couple hours. While my wife and daughter had been in bed for 4, 5, 6 hours, or maybe even 8 hours. So I finally figured out, and my wife had enough patience to let me figure it out on my own. And that's really hard to do sometimes when you can see that the person you love is doing something that isn't even good for them, to love them enough that they will simply fix the problem themselves. Now, with things like sleep, I think this is a really nice thing to do. And it's tough, though. My wife endured a bunch of me coming to bed really late, having a hard time falling asleep, waking her up, being cranky in the morning, not being available in the morning because I had been up too late. My wife had a ton of patience with me as I discovered that her sleep routines were extremely healthy and that all I had to do is just copy exactly what she did already, and I would sleep as good as she sleeps. Most of what I've seen in my life indicates that healthy people have good sleep routines. Happy people have good sleep routines. People who are unhappy and unhealthy do not have good sleep routines. Now, the great news about this is, if you are honest enough to look around and say, my sleep routines could be better, then you've got a huge opportunity to improve your health and happiness. I remember feeling inspired this way while I was listening to Gretchen Rubin's book, The Happiness Project, I believe. And that title inspired me from my Happier People podcast title. She was talking about her routines before bed. She was talking about having an hour or so of wind down time, of learning that she needed to take time before bed to not be on Facebook, to not be doing all these things that wind the mind up, to clean up a little bit around the house. And then another tip I got from listening to her book, she said that having the room darked out is extremely helpful. That means, for example, in this room, there's no natural light that can get into this room when the door is closed. And it's a little difficult. The sun has to be good and up for the light to come in through the door. When this room is dark at night and the battery backups are off, there's almost no light in this room at all. The windows are completely put, there's foam pieces in there that are from my sound studio and the block out outside noise a little bit. So this room is completely dark, and that helps me to sleep a lot later. If you find you can't sleep later in a certain time, it may be because the sun wakes you up. Apparently, our bodies are programmed to be woken up by the sun and to fall asleep when the sun and light is absent. Now, with electric lights, you can keep your body up much longer. But if you, what I do is try and turn down the lights at night also when it's an hour before bedtime or 30 minutes. I try and turn all the lights down so that my body is getting conditioned into sleep time beforehand. And now with the house we have light protection in our room so that the sun can be up at 6:30 or 7 in the morning, but it doesn't wake us up. Now, if I were living back in the last house my wife and I were in, that the sun came in and would wake us up. We rarely slept in as late as we do in this house because the sun would wake us up. The sun would come in through the windows. The sun would come in through the living room, through the door to the bedroom. The sun would come in through the bathroom window. When the sun comes in and wakes you up, then it's hard to stay and go back to sleep then, unless you're really overly tired. If you can't go to bed for one reason or another before something like 10 p.m. or 11 p.m., and you have a hard time sleeping once the sun's come up, it might help to block out all the sunlight in your room, to go buy some blackout curtains. To you can even use, if you want something super cheap, take, I've got this up in here, cardboard boxes, and you have them double layered, and you put the cardboard boxes up so all the sunlight is blocked out of the window. Now, yes, it doesn't look pretty, but thankfully, my wife and I negotiated that I get the bedroom. This is where the office is, and everything's set up for the office in here, which is also convenient for sleep, and then my wife gets the whole rest of the house. So you do what it takes. You have a conversation to get on the same page. If you live with someone else, you work things out with them. If they don't want a cheap-looking blackout curtain solution, then buy some nicer blackout curtains. Or get something, get the windows treated or something. The point is, if you don't get enough sleep, you'll be in bad moods, you'll have more health problems, and it's as simple as going back and figuring out what it is you can do to get more sleep. I've had a family member who's had a lot of trouble with sleep in their life, and if you can't get more sleep in your life, that is a sign. Even if you want to, that's a sign your life is unmanageable. If you try and get more sleep and you can't do it, that is a clear sign you need help. Healthy people are able to look at their lives and make changes when you can see those changes are good for you. When you can see there's a different way to do things and that way of doing things is better for you, then you're able to go through and change that. What you might be amazed to find that if you try and change your sleep, you may be unable to do it. This family member, no matter how many times they try and change their sleep, no matter how many things, they cannot get more sleep. Their routines are not, no matter what they do, they still end up making all kinds of these mistakes, the 2 or 3 hours of sleep, going to bed at 4 in the morning, getting up at 8 in the morning, and there's no job in the picture. There's no reason that they can't get healthy sleep, except that if you're in a place where you don't have enough people in your life that are helping you and loving you, your life becomes unmanageable. Unmanageable meaning it doesn't matter what you know. It doesn't matter if you know that 8 hours of sleep's good. It doesn't matter if you know all these tips and tricks I just gave you. If your life is unmanageable, it doesn't matter. Your best intentions will not allow you to do any better, because who you are is tied up in all these other things. And there are so many unhealthy things going on in your life that you can't even fix one area with your full energy and effort. And that is exactly what I've been through in my life. I had that humbling realization over alcohol that no matter what I wanted to do, I was not going to stop drinking. That my best intentions, that I knew I should never drink again, that I knew I was going to drink myself to death, that I knew it was causing horrible problems, it didn't matter. I would not stop. And I mean, my best intentions would suddenly be flipped over by this crazy insanity, this complete selective forgetting of everything I needed to know and only remembering how good a drink was. This happens in sleep. For example, you'll wake up in the morning, oh my God, I didn't get enough sleep last night, and I'm going to do better. I'm going to go to bed on time. I've talked to this family member, and they must have said 100, if not 200, 300, or 500 times over the course of their lives, I'm going to do better. I'm going to go to bed on time. And what happens? It's 9, 10 at night, and all of a sudden, there's all these things they want to do, and they're up till 4 in the morning. And they, how did I do this? How did I stay up all night again? And then wake up, same thing the next morning. I'm going to do better. I'm going to go to bed on time. And all day, I'm going to go to bed on time. And then what happens when it's time for bed? Complete forgetting of the objective. Oh, I've got all these things to do. I have to clean this up before bed. I have to do this before bed. I have to do that before bed. And then it's 4 in the morning and the same damn thing happens again. That's a sign you have an insane, unmanageable life. And I recognize that. Thank God I recognize that with drinking, that no matter how many times I said I wouldn't drink, no matter how much I knew that when the time came and I felt like having a drink, I'd forget everything else. All I'd remember is that I love drinking. I would forget every other thing that was relevant. When it came time, when I got thirsty, all I'd think about is how good it'd feel to not be thirsty anymore. If you see that you honestly can't change your bedtime routines, then that's a great opportunity to get help. And I think the best kind of help is through listening to podcasts like this, listening to books or reading books. Reading books can help. I think most of us need some kind of a community in person to be connected to. And a partner or someone to live with, I think, is very helpful. Or living in a place where your life is more managed, depending on your life situation. I think living with people, living with my wife, helped me to make a difference on my sleep that I don't know if I ever would have made without her. Having a good example in your life that you can see on a daily basis is extremely helpful. I have a friend, he consistently goes to bed and gets up and has a good schedule. And I learn from him. I learn from my wife. I learn from people who are healthy. And thank God, when I realized that I honestly couldn't do anything about my drinking, I went and got help from a lot of people that were able, that had the same problem as me and were able to stop And it took me listening to hundreds of them share before I even could get the very basic thing down. I'm amazed to see today I think I'm a smart person, and yet, honestly, it usually takes me hundreds of times hearing something until it really sinks in. Because I've got a thick skull. I think I know. And even talking about this, there's a lot more I have to learn about getting good sleep. Because, yes, I think it's pretty easy when you're pretty healthy and all that to get some good sleep. I think I've got it pretty easy now. I realize the difficulty level could be much higher. But that doesn't mean the objective's not worth reaching. If your sleep is more difficult, you're likely to need more help. And I recommend all natural help. I don't recommend any sleep aids. No pills. Nothing that's unnatural. Or not even no natural pills. I get your sleep naturally. I don't know anyone who takes sleep aids or pills to help them sleep that has good healthy sleep routines. There's no cheating when it comes to healthy sleep. You do it right or you end up with a more messed up situation than you started with, over time at least. So these are just my thoughts that I hope are helpful for you today. I'm very grateful to have got such a good night of sleep before. I'm grateful to have the chance to talk about these things with you today. I hope if you are getting healthy sleep and you've listened to this just to nod your head the whole time, yep, I'm doing that, yep, I'm doing that, yep, then I hope maybe this will help provide some patience for someone in your life who's not doing so good with their sleep. And maybe if you share this with them, it might be helpful. I don't know. It might infuriate them too. I hope that you are enjoying listening to this with me because I've enjoyed making it here with you. My exercise for today is to continue to double check my sleep routines. When it comes time an hour before bed, which for me starts at about 9 to 9:30 p.m., to take a second look at my sleep routines today. Because I get tempted, just like the next person, to check Facebook right before bedtime, to go log on to the computer and do my business right before bedtime. I get tempted just like everyone else. My exercise for today is to see if there's anything else I can do to further optimize my sleep routines. To take a look and double check that I'm doing the best I can. And to see if there's any little thing I can add or eliminate that will help me do even better. Thank you very much for listening to this today. I hope this has been helpful and I hope you have a great day.